Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
This week, House Republicans will pass the legislation promoting American energy independence and opposing Biden's anti-energy agenda. There's no other way to describe it. Our bills, as you've heard, are going to support fracking. They're going to expedite permitting processes. We're going to decrease fees on oil and gas producers. And, of course, we will continue to denounce President Biden's radical policies. This is a continuation of the pro-American energy agenda that House Republicans have been pursuing and will always pursue. We passed H.R. 1, our signature piece of legislation, right out of the blocks, the Lower Energy Cost Act. And that legislation was to support our LNG producers and protect gas-powered vehicles. So this is very clear. The White House is more eager to appease radical environmental activists than the American people. There's no other way to assess this. And House Republicans will stand with American energy and producers for lower energy costs for Americans. And Democrats simply cannot say the same thing. That's the contrast. Americans see it. And we will be reiterating that theme over and over. And with that, I'll take your questions.
So let me ask the first question, Speaker Johnson. Why is nobody talking about the EPA? And why is it that we aren't discussing enough the Biden administration putting a halt on liquefied natural gas exports, which only helps Russia? If you are a European nation and you don't have access to the energy, Russia is your option. And why is it that we would create a situation if we're so desperate to help Ukraine and send them dollars and send them bullets, to then have European nations having to somehow look to Russia or some subsidiary in order to get natural gas that will then help them attack Ukraine, which we are spending our money fighting while we're not making any money selling our liquefied natural gas to Europe? The whole thing is nuts. It's nutty. It's crazy town. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. Good to be with you. Find everything going on over at TonyKatz.com. The phone number, 833-468-8669, 833, I got Tony. But I brought up the EPA. This was a story little known. That it's not that we've seen outrageous, what they call CAFE standards. Oh, you're building a car. Well, the car has to get 952 miles to the gallon. Well, that, of course, is criminally insane. Well, then I guess you're not serious about making cars. Have a nice day. And that's why the cars get made out of tissue paper for a whole host of reasons. Pushing this CAFE standard, it's why all SUVs look alike. Because this is the format that is easiest to build at the lowest cost for the highest yield to meet all their standards, etc. I'm amazed we still allow the building of trucks in the United States. Although we are a truck-happy culture, and I don't mind that at all. But the idea of these standards, the idea of these regulations, the objective is to utilize the regulatory agencies to put industries out or really make them change to the ideological whim. I don't think that the objective of the Biden administration is to put General Motors out of business. He needs those union votes badly. I would argue that it is the ideology of the political left to remove all cars from the roads. And they don't care if General Motors is put out of business because the way they view it, well, what they'll do is they'll just get help from the government. All those rich people will pay their fair share and that's how we'll take care of it. And after all, they'll transition into the green economy and oh, isn't that going to be a dream come true? Not yet. Not yet a dream come true. Not yet even any part of a dream. The EPA expected to put out final emissions rules that I'm quoting here will effectively require a certain percentage, as much as two-thirds by 2032, of new cars to be all electric. Now, we have discussed this numerous times, that the country has looked at electric and they've said, nice, not thrilling, but nice. That's my Dom DeLuise impression right there. For those of you who know, you know. We've already seen California go down this road where you're not going to be able to buy a new combustion engine vehicle after, I think it is, 2030. But listen to what's happening on a federal side. Two-thirds of cars have to be all electric by 2032. The nation is not down for electric. They have made their point clear. You have seen it. We've seen it with Hertz rental car. They bought 20,000 Teslas. We're going to rent electric cars. It's going to be great. You know what they did this past couple of weeks? Sold 20,000 Teslas because nobody wants to rent electric. There is a market for electric vehicles. It's just not huge. It's actually very niche and niche and very small. Hybrid, well, okay, people get, they understand hybrid. They get hybrid. They're down with hybrid. Hybrid makes perfect sense. I can save a couple of bucks. I charge it up in my garage. That's cool. But when I need to take a trip, oh, look, there's a gas station and I'm a normal human being. I know how that works. I don't have to calculate ranges. I don't have to wait an hour for things to charge up 12%. By the way, you'd be so lucky that things charge up 12% in an hour, depending on the charger you have, depending on where you're at, depending on the weather. I have driven now quite a few electric vehicles. We had I'll give you the full review. I've driven two from Ford over the past 6 months, 5 months. The Mach-E, which is their electric Mustang, and yes, I don't know why they call it the Mustang either. It was a huge mistake on Ford's part. The car itself is quite incredible. And I drove the Lightning. Actually, today I'm handing back the Lightning to my sponsor, a local Ford dealership called Andy Moore Ford, and I'm going to be driving something else. It is a one awesome perk of the gig. It is. I drive the things and I talk about the things. I speak about them honestly and thusly. I don't know. I'm getting a Mustang. All right, you be quiet. Is this thing going to be too small for me? In the past, Mustangs have been rather comfortable, so I'm assuming this one will be the same. But I've been driving the F-150 Lightning, which is the electric pickup. The pickup is better than the Mach-E. For me, not even a question. It is a freaking rocket ship. I've said this many times over. It's outrageously comfortable. I think it's beautifully laid out. I think the ride on that thing is exceptional, and it was the first time I ever said, oh, yeah, I could do this every day. I could be an electric guy every day, but I lead a different life, and you guys know this. I work from home. I'm building a studio. I don't drive to work. I don't have a daily commute. Well, dear God, I don't get to put myself in with how everybody else is doing everything. I understand the rare and very fortunate air that I'm in on that one. If you're doing a daily commute, this whole thing is fundamentally different. So when I talk about the fact that I could do it, I see it, I could do it, and I could do it with a smile, because I will admit to you, in all of these winter months, not having gone to a gas station has been excellent. My wife, oh, she's suffered. But I have been warm and toasty, and I think that's the point. Like, it's not much. What does it take to go to a gas station? But I will admit to you that it's been good not having to do that. There is not a market. Because when you take a look at some of these vehicles, I'm not just talking about Ford. I'm talking about Tesla's already lowered their prices, although the price of a different one has just gone up. And others, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000? Now, some Teslas might be less expensive at this stage of the game, but my point to you is this is where the electrics in a lot of these other companies' worlds have been. Well, where's the market for that? It exists. Let's not kid ourselves. People buy Porsches. But it is a much smaller market. It is a much more, a smaller sliver of the larger pie. Now here comes the EPA. Here I am, an individual, telling you I get why I liked it. I get why I could drive it. But I had to take a look at my individual circumstance versus everybody else's basic individual circumstances, the average, and say I fit into a very, very small mode. A small niche of people. And even for me, that kind of price is just, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm spending that. I don't know if I'm spending that. But I get the fact that Americans have stated, and they've been really clear about it, we should listen to them. I'm not spending that for all electric. Yet here comes the EPA to say, oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. We're going to force it upon you by ensuring that the auto manufacturers don't have a choice, which means when you go to the lot, you won't have a choice. Take it back to California, where they're going to mandate this stuff by 2030. No new combustion engine vehicles sold at dealerships. Well, it's only a matter of time as people head over to Nevada and Arizona and buy a car and bring it over and have it registered, or they buy a used car, that will be outlawed. Outlawed. That's how it's going to get described. We can't have these people bringing in their combustion engines, and it won't matter anyway. Because soon after, California will make aggressive moves and will pass legislation to limit what? Gas stations. Now you say to me, Tony, they're not going to do that. Why don't you take a moment and Hesh would say, put a little fizzy water on your head and have yourself a sip of bourbon and ask yourself, will California progressive politicians ban gas stations in order to move forward on their green agenda ideology? Okay, you already have the answer. You already said yes, I heard you. Of course they will. You want to talk about the most non-debatable subject in the world. The only thing that could have less debate than will California progressives vote to get rid of gas stations in order to move more people into electric vehicles is whether or not Alec Baldwin really thinks he didn't shoot and kill that woman. Alec Baldwin is the only guy who doesn't think that, and everybody knows that California Democrats are going to do exactly this. They're going to do exactly this, guys. It's nuts. The green agenda, as a concept, we should ask ourselves, what kind of society we want, which is why I've always been a guy talking about conservation and not environmentalism, because conservation makes sense and environmentalists are cultists who want to kill you. The environmentalists think babies are parasites. The environmentalists think you shouldn't have air conditioning. The environmentalists want you in an electric vehicle, never admitting where the electricity is made. Oh, that's the best one. That's the best one. They're always screaming about electric vehicles, but they never admit what it takes to get the electricity. They think that magically it just appears. Somebody rubbed a genie's lamp, and the static electricity, it powered the state for years to come. They never even questioned the genie. It's hilarious. Power has to come from somewhere. That electricity is coming from somewhere. Most probably someone shoveling coal into a furnace. And they also never admit that it doesn't matter what we do if China and India continue to be mass polluters. What does any of it matter? Why are we choking ourselves for them? That's super duper weird. That's a mistake. That is a mistake of the highest level, of the highest quality. So, let's go back to the point that Speaker Mike Johnson was making. Speaker Johnson was stating quite clearly that what the Biden administration is after is problematic. And this is all about making an appeal to the most radical elements.
So this is very clear. The White House is more eager to appease radical environmental activists than the American people. There's no other way to assess this. And House Republicans will stand with American energy and producers for lower energy costs for Americans. And Democrats simply cannot say the same thing. That's the contrast. Americans see it. And we will be reiterating that theme over and over. And with that, I'll take your questions.
I asked my questions. My questions have been asked, but not so much sufficiently answered. And I think one of the questions that we should be asking elected officials who buy in to this green nonsense is, how do I get to work? How do I drive my kid to baseball or to a sleepover? How do I go out to eat and support this local economy if, when the time comes for me to buy something new, there is nothing that is provided in my price range? Why are we engaging in this hyper-aggressive manipulation of markets as opposed to listening to what the market is saying? The market is not saying that they are anti-electric vehicles. They're saying that there's no place right now for mass adoption of it because the price, like the rent, is too damn high. The answer from the EPA and these environmentalists is they don't care. You will learn to comply. It's like these people who believe in the World Economic Forum people. You'll have nothing, you'll own nothing, and you'll be happier. Which, of course, as we all know, is not true, because the slave owned nothing. I've read enough books to know that they were not happy. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today.
A Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean.
So let us talk Texas in a nutshell, because this has been a weird 24 hours. Tony Katz Today. What's going on, everybody? The state of Texas has stated that if the Biden administration is going to suck, I'm sorry. That was rude. That was rude and that was wrong. I should not have said that. Tony, be better. Be best. All right. So let me say it properly. So what Texas said, if the Biden administration is going to suck, we are going to take matters into our own hands, and we are going to start engaging in arrests and deportations of people who are in the country illegally. That's what we're going to do. And the Biden administration was like, you can't do that. And Texas was like, and I'm quoting here, and they decided to do it. They said that they had the right to do so. Well, this started going through the courts. It gets to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, yeah, that can take effect. That can happen. Now, it's an interesting conversation, because what Texas is saying, if I understand it properly, is that we're not engaged in border policy. We're dealing with people who are in the country illegally, ipso facto, after the fact, after they've already crossed the border. Then that's Texas jurisdiction. Man, we got to jump through a lot of hoops to try and keep Americans safe. The Supreme Court says you can do this. And then soon after, the Fifth Circuit weighs in and they're like, no, you can't. And people are like, wait a second. The Fifth Circuit doesn't override the Supreme Court. What is this? Well, what they're saying is that this was brought back to us by the Supreme Court. Now we have to figure out how this is going to be put into effect if there are other issues here based on what the Supreme Court has given us. So everybody has to hold off. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work well with the Supreme Court. And I don't think it's going to work well with, well, rational folk who are looking at now activist courts like the Fifth Circuit and others thinking that they're in charge. But the story not told within this whole thing is the country of Mexico. Because Mexico stated, yeah, you could deport them, but we won't take them. I'm sorry, you won't do what now? What do you mean you won't take them? We're going to fly planes into just abandoned fields, drop people off, and say, have a nice day. What do you mean you won't take them? Can we start addressing the fact that Mexico is a terrible friend, an absolutely horrific friend to the United States? Just awful. They're the ones who allow people to traverse the country and get into the United States in the first place. Maybe if they did their work and were stronger, we wouldn't have as many issues as we have. We got to start asking ourselves if Mexico is a friend. I take that back. We have to start recognizing that Mexico isn't. Expect this back at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court to have even stronger opinions coming soon. This is Tony Katz Today.
So there's been a lot of questions about what happens if Trump can't pay the bond and Letitia James starts taking properties. Does this create a look that actually benefits the former president? Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? Find everything at TonyKatz.com. President Trump got loans to develop properties. He got these loans at certain rates. Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, says that those rates were too low. He got favorable terms because Donald Trump lied about his wealth and his standing and the value of properties. Now, the bank loaned the money. The money got paid back. There is absolutely no one who claims that he didn't pay back the money. He paid back all of the money, every last dollar. The bank was thrilled to be in business with him. Now, they may not say that today, but allow me to be as clear as day. The bank was thrilled, overjoyed to be in business with Donald Trump. They bragged about being in business with Donald Trump. Everybody knows this. Don't forget our history. We got into this in great detail yesterday, that Donald Trump was an icon. Donald Trump was something you aspired to be. Donald Trump was a verb, a noun, an adjective, whatever it is you needed it to be, because that's what you were trying to get to. You were trying to get to Trump money. You were trying to get to Trump fame. And every time you see Trump at some club or with some young women, understand that every woman in that club wanted to sleep with Donald Trump. Every single one of them. And after they did, they bragged about it to their friends. Are we going to pretend all of a sudden that we're not adults? Because I think that's a really weird thing to pretend. If you want to pretend you're a doctor, well, I get it. My safe word is vasectomy, which, oh yeah, that's a little double entendre right there. But it's undoubtedly true that any place he was, there was a woman or two or 23 who wanted to sleep with him. And every guy wanted to be in business with him. Now, was he the perfect business partner? I don't think so. I have seen enough reporting. I have read enough stories. He didn't pay this one. He tried to renegotiate with that one. All these other things. And his answer was always, so you don't like it? Sue me. Go on. Go on, sue me. Oh, he loves the courts, adores the courts. Just figure he could waste someone's time in court and eventually they'd settle or do this, do that. I'm not saying I like that stuff. I'm not saying I would have done business with him. I am saying that people were thrilled to do business with him, thrilled to be in his orbit. And then he ran for president, and of course he was a racist and a bigot and an anti-Semite, whatever else they want to say, and of course they lie. But in this situation, this case, there's no actual crime. He said here was the value. And the bank said, good enough by me. And they gave him the money. He didn't steal it. He didn't put a gun to anybody's head. This wasn't a stick up at the OK Corral or whatever other name your Western where they robbed banks or didn't rob banks. I don't even know if they robbed banks at the OK Corral. The point is he didn't steal from anybody. It didn't happen. He asked for the money. He said, here I am. They said, great. He paid the money back. Yet somehow, Letitia James, the Attorney General, and this judge have decided that this was a crime, and for that, your penalty is $464 million. You can't do business in New York. Trump can't get the bond. And the reason Trump can't get the bond is nobody is set up to do this kind of work. Nobody is set up to deliver this kind of bond. Certainly in the time frame. But as just a matter of course, it's a huge amount of money. Well, why doesn't he put up his own money if he's so rich? I can't answer that question for you, except it might not make sense to do. It might be a terrible idea to put up your own money. There could be 27 levels of economic factoring involved. And one of them is, well, they're just going to take Trump Tower, right? They're going to take Trump Tower and they're going to cheer when they take it. And they're going to take down the word Trump in gold. And everyone's going to say, ah, that's the end of Trump. Look what we did. These people who never built anything are going to revel in destroying something. So the question is, what if Trump says, take the building. Bye. I live in Florida now. Sometimes you got to let go of the past. Bye, Felicia. And gives up the building. Now, that might be a way out of an economic issue. But maybe there's a greater question here. And I think there is. And I was not the first person to come to this. I saw other people chatting about this. This idea that taking the property might work very well for Trump regarding election. Now, some people have said, what if Trump decides to engage a bankruptcy filing? And that would protect assets. It would be a massive court back and forth here. I'm saying, what if he says, take it? Bye. Just take the building. Have a nice day. Does this help him? It is certainly there has been polling. It, to the extent that we're going to believe polling, just follow me here. There's been polling that says that Trump, if he is convicted, will have a harder time getting elected than Trump if he's not convicted. And I think that we could argue that for independents or moderates, all right, maybe that makes sense. We get that. A convicted guy, you have a different point of view of. I don't think any of us rationally sitting having a bourbon at the bar stool would be like, oh, that's ridiculous. No, okay, convicted, I don't want any part of that, right? Still a belief in the rule of law and everything else. And well, if they convicted him, he must really be guilty. If he's guilty, I can't elect him, etc. I can't vote for him, etc. But in this situation, here's Letitia James. Here are the Democrats with, well, lack of a better word, their metaphorical scalp. They got Trump, and now they've taken his building. Does that make Trump look like a sympathetic character? And is that helpful? Does it make the political left look bloodthirsty? Look what they did. They took the guy's property. You know, there's not even a crime. He borrowed money, he paid it back. It's between him and the banks. Why are we even getting involved? Right? The taking of the property would force more people to say, well, wait a second, why'd they do that? And then any bit of a rational investigation would lead to, holy crap, is this what our government just did? Oh, we can't have that, these people in power anymore. But you'll note that what I said is rational, a rational look or a rational analysis. This is where I think it gets more interesting, because we do not give credence to the idea that people know. People are smart, right? You get these people out there who really hate others. Everyone's dumb. Everyone's stupid. They need to be spoon-fed everything. And, of course, the political left does a tremendous amount of spoon-feeding. I'm not saying that the political right doesn't. I'm making the argument that people are aware. They are mostly bright. They may not be geniuses. They may not be Rhodes Scholars. And by the way, we've met Rhodes Scholars these days. They ain't what they used to be, right? They don't claim to have an expertise, but they do have a generalized knowledge of right and wrong and when they're being BS'd. You took his building? You did what? Somewhere I can believe, and somewhere very primal, that is going to look very, very bad. Because the left on cable news and other places won't stop being able to do a victory dance. They are going to celebrate it like it's a royal wedding. They are going to cheer. Trump lost this and Trump lost that and ha ha ha, and let's bring in the experts. Well, as you know, you can clearly see no one's above the law. How many times are you going to have to hear no one's above the law? Oh. And I think people are going to look at that and say, holy crap, these people really did engage revenge. Holy crap, look what this witch hunt did. You see, they've been paying attention, but they haven't been paying too much attention. But they're aware, but they don't want to admit that they're fully aware. But when they see this, they're going to go, oh, crap. Donnie Boy was right. Are you looking at this? They took his freaking building. My God, what are they going to do to us? You could argue that I'm discussing a slippery slope. I don't think I am. Because I am not discussing what government might do to people. We've already seen what they'll do. I am discussing where the mind goes and support. And I don't think Letitia James standing in front of Trump Tower saying, it's mine now, is going to help the political left. I can't say that it's going to radically help Trump, but there's an interesting argument about whether or not it could. And I, after spending a couple days on it, I think it might. I think it might very well help Trump in the, look what they did. Look at who they are. They can do this to me. They can do it to anybody. Anybody disagrees with them. Anybody who threatens the status quo. Anybody who goes after the deep state. Oh, speaking of the deep state, this thing is fascinating. So this, I don't know the dude. Though he does follow me on X. Rusty Weiss. And he noticed something and posted it out there. Like, does the New York Times now admit that there's a deep state? He wrote, dang, the New York Times went from the deep state isn't real to it's real and it's spectacular in a hurry. So that's a Seinfeld reference. So here's what he's got. These two headlines from the New York Times. One is a piece that reads, what happens when you fight a deep state that doesn't exist? And there's a picture of Trump. So this is the New York Times saying the deep state doesn't exist. And then there's a video that's out recently, I guess, that states, quote, it turns out the deep state is actually kind of awesome. That's the New York Times. I mean, that's the kind of turnaround usually saved for Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation to, you know, everything on Hunter Biden's laptop is totally authenticated. Which, if they had just listened to the New York Post, they would have known years prior. But now we have the New York Times admitting that the deep state is real. You'll always note, or maybe I'll say it differently, you should note that always the left says, oh, you're crazy. Oh, you're ridiculous. Oh, that's not happening. Oh, that's not a thing. Oh, you're making that up. Oh, you're culture war. And then when the evidence continues to mount and it's irrefutable, they'll say, yeah, isn't it terrific? First, it didn't exist, and then it's awesome. Every single time. And I love that he noted this right here. The deep state doesn't exist. There is no deep state. No deep state's against you. There isn't a government deep state. You're so ridiculous about the deep state. Oh, yeah, the deep state, greatest thing that ever happened. Saved America, don't you know? So that kind of I think, action, that kind of commentary, when that happens, that actually gets people to say, man, these people are shameless. Shameless. Well, that's the way I think it can play when it comes to the building and the taking of the building. I have no clue if it's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe there will be a bankruptcy. Maybe a series of things are going to happen. Maybe someone's going to step in and say, here's $464 million. Trump gets to keep his stuff. Maybe that's what's going to happen. But if he has to give up the building, my view, I think it works out for him. I do. I think it works out for him in a pretty good way. I think it helps. We should be clear, though. This whole thing is nonsense. This never, ever, ever should have happened. And Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, is a terrible, terrible person who doesn't believe in the rule of law. She believes in the rule of revenge. She is Beria. Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. The guy who ran the Soviet secret police there. Was he with Lenin or Stalin? I don't know. He was with one of the murderous bastards. And the line from Leventry Beria, that was his name, last name Beria, B-E-R-I-A, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Doesn't matter whether it's real, doesn't matter whether it's true, I'll find something they did. I'll make sure that they stand trial. I'll make sure that they're guilty. That's what Letitia James did. She ran on it. And New Yorkers voted for it. Pretty damn obscene, if you ask me. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today.
You're correct, Senator Kennedy. I would never sign.
Tell me what you meant by assault weapons.
So I am not a gun expert, and at the time, that brief I think was about 10 years.
You were given the court advice about, say, ban assault weapons. What is? You told the court you were an expert. Just tell me what you wanted to ban,
Senator. Sitting here today. As I said, I did not write that brief. I was local counsel.
Sign the brief.
I understand. At the time,
tell me what you wanted to ban. That's all I want to know, Judge.
I don't remember the exact definition of assault weapons in the ordinance that was at issue.
So you submitted a brief to the to an appellate brief. You signed it, and you don't know what. And you said abolish assault weapons, and you don't know what you wanted them to abolish.
At this stage of the game, if you don't love Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, you're just ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's a Senate confirmation hearing. And he's got, you know, one of the many nominees from the political left. Maybe she's a lovely woman. I don't know. I don't know her personally. And he just wants to know if you have signed briefs before saying you want to abolish assault weapons. Which ones are they? She can't answer the question. Because answering the question is inconsequential, because knowing what an assault weapon is inconsequential. Anything they deem scary is an assault weapon, and they want to get rid of everything. They don't want you to have a gun. That is, of course, what she's caught in. She probably didn't know what she signed then. Whatever they decided was an assault weapon. Oh, I love Senator Kennedy for this one. Expose these people for knowing nothing. And remember that the Second Amendment remains. The Second Amendment shall be untouched. It's worth fighting for. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.